Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, amma ba'd. Respected elders and dear brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, and from the teachings of the Quran we understand, that regardless of how difficult the situation may be, how uncertain conditions may be, how unpredictable the context may be, and how grim the situation may be, as a believer, as a mu'min, we always remain optimistic, we remain positive, we remain hopeful, and we always have a good perception, and we have good thoughts, and we have good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in a hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, that I will put his expectations from me, whatever he hopes from me. If he hopes good, and he is positive, and he is hopeful, and he is optimistic, then I will treat him according to his expectations from me. And if he has bad expectations, there's pessimism, he is negative, then due to his own pessimism and negativity, he will find it very difficult to traverse, and he will find it very difficult to experience that unfavorable condition that he finds himself in, or that he observes around him. And hopeful and optimistic, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the misery that you witness and you observe around you, this is a byproduct. Optimism, being hopeful and being positive, is a byproduct or is an outcome of another attribute, characteristic and quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have instructed us and encouraged us to develop, and that is the quality of shukr. When we have shukr in our lives and we are constantly in a state of shukr, appreciation, and constantly in a state of gratitude and thankfulness, then naturally the outcome thereof will be that one will be optimistic, one will be positive, one will be hopeful. And that is why it's so important for us during these days and during these times and throughout our lives, again, regardless of the circumstance, whether unfavorable or favorable, whether I am directly affected by it or I am observing unfavorable situations unfolding around me, regardless of the situation, we always remain in a state of shukr and gratitude. And very often, when we witness the difficulties, the anxiety, the displacement, and we witness the worries and the challenges that others encounter, that should be a good enough motivation for us to count our blessings, to ponder over our bounties and the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon us. So one is, we are encouraged to always remain in a state of shukr and gratitude. And then when we witness the suffering of others, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the country they come from, regardless of the language they speak, they are human beings at the end of the day. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you have absolutely no right to claim superiority over another person based on your nationality, based on the color of your skin, based on the language that you speak, based on your affiliation. You have absolutely no right to claim greatness and to claim superiority over the next person. The deciding factor in the sight of Allah, the criteria in the sight of Allah to determine who is better than the other is taqwa. Allah consciousness and mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the extent of piety and the extent of proximity you enjoy before Allah azza wa jal. So when we observe other human beings in general and Muslims in particular facing trial and tribulation, then that is a good enough motivation for us to remain in a state of shukr and gratitude, because today it could be one community, tomorrow it could be the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afiyah. So on the topic of shukr, we find that there are verses upon verses in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only encouraged us but instructed us to adopt the quality of shukr, appreciation, gratitude, remain in a state of thankfulness. Why? Because we said that will naturally give birth to optimism and a mindset of being positive. Washkuru ni'matallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Washkuru ni'matallah in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Allah links shukr to his ibadah. In other words, if your ibadah is genuine and sincere, Allah says, in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. If truly you are worshipping Allah, if truly you are loyal to Allah, if truly your every spiritual obligation is dedicated to Allah, then you will remain in a state of shukr. So the true essence of ibadah, the true essence of ibadah is what? Shukr. Very often we fulfill a spiritual obligation because it is an obligation. But the mindset and the outlook has to change. I'm offering the salah as shukr to Allah. Then you are encouraged to offer that salah. Whatever ibadah you do, when you change the mindset that I'm fulfilling this ibadah as a form of shukr to Allah, giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I offer my fajr salah in the morning. And yes, you are offering it primarily because it is one of the obligatory salahs that we must observe. But over and above that, what will really motivate me to offer the two rakats of fajr salah? And what will really motivate me to wake up that early in the morning and offer the two rakats of salah? When I tell myself, I need to in order to give shukr to Allah for allowing me to experience a new day. Then when you offer your dhuhr salah, again the thought should cross your mind from the time of fajr until the time of dhuhr. Allahu Akbar. How many favors Allah has allowed me to enjoy. I should put everything right. Right now I should put everything aside, go back to the masjid and offer my dhuhr salah again. Why? Showing my appreciation to Allah, presenting my gratitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your every act of ibadah is exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then give shukr to Allah. Give shukr to Allah for every ni'mah and every bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. So number one of the best forms, and we will discuss that later on, where we speak about ways of developing shukr, or the practical application of shukr. It's a quality that is primarily found within the heart, but then there is the practical application of that quality that resides within the heart. If despite the challenges they faced, and that's why they were so optimistic, that is why they were so positive, subhanAllah, regardless of the personal issues that they were encountering, and regardless of the unfavorable circumstances that were prevalent around them, they always remain optimistic. They always remain positive. How often you find in the Quran that a Nabi, أَيَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِهِ جَمِيعًا, when they were really in a very, very difficult situation, right? When all odds were stacked against them, you will notice very often in the Quran that they would use a pause when you come to that word in the Quran, asa, and understand the context in which it was said. The Nabi, when he made that statement, you will find that he made that statement, asa, when everything else seemed to be against him. What does asa mean? Asa means hopefully. In Arabic, in fact, in Arabic grammar, we refer to asa as fi'lul raja', فعل الرجاء عسى is a word that is used in order to inspire hope. So whenever they were in a very difficult situation, you would see that they would always utter words that would inspire hope within them and would create a positive and an optimistic sensation within them. And that stems from constantly being in a state of shukr. Allah says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. Allah says he was shakir. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. Shakir. Shakir is one who is constantly in a state of shukr. Constantly in a state of shukr. Regardless of the circumstance, favorable or unfavorable, shakir, constantly in a state of shukr for every bounty and ni'mah of Allah. And that's what the situation demands from you and I. Shakir, we should be in a state of shukr, especially now when you see displacement of people, when you see privileges taken away from people, when you see the sufferings, whether it is within our neighborhood, whether it is within our city, our surroundings, or abroad, wherever it may be. That demands from us that I pause and I think and I reflect over the many bounties that I enjoy. The roof over my head, which I take for granted, the beds in which I sleep, the food that I eat, the water that I drink, especially during the season. He says this about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he faced test after test and challenge after challenge. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. One challenge after another. One challenge after another. Personal challenges, domestic challenges within his home. And then also from within the community and so on and so forth. But he remained in a constant state of shukr. Allah says about Nuh alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And Nuh alayhi salam, we know 950 years, he was the target of oppression. As old as he was the target of hostility. He would be abused, physically abused, verbally abused, emotionally abused. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he was عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. He was a servant and a slave of us who was extremely, excessively and overwhelmingly appreciative. Allah. Never did he allow the situation to cause him to become ungrateful or to become negative or pessimistic. He remained positive. Then that positivity stemmed from the state of gratitude and shukr, counting his favors and his bounties in that moment of difficulty. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he speaks about the demands of shukr. What does shukr demand from you? How do I know? How do I know I am fulfilling the requirements of shukr? So he says, "Ash-shukru mabniyun ala khams qawa'id." He says, shukr stands and it rests upon five pillars. Consider these pillars to be the requirements of shukr or the demands of shukr. The barometers that you can use in order to determine whether I do possess shukr or not. Number one, he says, خُضُوعُ الشَّاكِرِ لِلْمَشْكُورِ. Number one is it creates within you a sense of humility. So when you think about your achievement, and when you think about the bounty that you enjoy, you think about the good health that Allah has bestowed you with, the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, the lovely home in which you live, the good food that you eat, the assets that you possess, the level of piety that you enjoy, the spiritual connection you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately, there's a sense of overwhelming humility that prevails within the heart. Never does the achievement that I have acquired or the bounty that I enjoy, never does it create within me a sense of pride. Never does it create within me a sense of entitlement. Never does it create within me a sense of superiority. Never do I feel that I deserved it. No, I always have an attitude, always have this attitude that I was the least deserving of this ni'mah and bounty. Number one, humility. Shukr creates humility within the heart. When you think of that bounty, the knowledge that you have, and whatever else it may be, the position that you enjoy, the accolades that you have earned, at no point do you attribute that to yourself. But there is humility within the heart, and person enjoys shukr. Number two, he says, وَحُبُّهُ لَهُ. You should have deep love for Allah. Develop love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have love for Allah because of all the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon you, then that is a sign that you deeply appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. The demand of love. And obviously the demand of love is what? Obedience. The demand of love, the natural outcome of love, when you truly love someone, the natural outcome of that love is what? Obedience. Ita'ah. Number one. Number two, what is the natural outcome of love for someone? The ability to sacrifice for that person. To struggle. Natural outcome of love. So how do I determine whether I truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Again, what is the gauge or what is the barometer in order to determine my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, the level of obedience. And number two, the extent I am willing to go in order to struggle and sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Set aside my personal preferences, set aside my personal desires, and set aside my personal choices, as difficult as it may be, but purely for the sake of the one whom you love. So that's number two. Right? So the first demand of shukr, being in a state of gratitude, he says, is humility. The bounty you think of never creates a sense of pride within the heart, or makes you feel that you are better than the next person, or that you deserved it over anyone else. Number two, love for Allah. We spoke about the signs of love. Number three, وَاعْتِرَافُهُ بِنِعْمَتِهِ. You should acknowledge that the bounty is from Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Always remind yourself that whatever the bounty may be, as insignificant as it may seem, as great as it may really be, don't ever attribute the bounty to yourself, but attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Musa alayhi salam, he addressed Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, Adam alayhi salam enjoyed privileges that no other human being had enjoyed. خَلَقْتَهُ بِيَدِكْ وَنَفَخْتَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِكْ وَأَمَرْتَ الْمَلَائِكَ فَسَجَدُوا لَهُ وَأَسْكَنْتَهُ جَنَّتَهُ. Oh Allah, you created Adam alayhi salam with your own hand, and you blew of your ruh into him, and you instructed all the malaika to prostrate to him, and you allowed him to live in Jannah. Privileges no other human being enjoyed. How did he fulfill the demand of shukr to you? How did he appreciate all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to Musa alayhi salam, عَرَفَ عَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنِّي. He acknowledged that that came to him from me. Acknowledgement. He acknowledged that all that he enjoyed was from me. He never ever felt he earned it, or there was never a sense of entitlement. He never felt that he deserved it. عَرَفَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنِّي فَحَمِدَنِي. And he said, Alhamdulillah. The power of Alhamdulillah. The power of Alhamdulillah. One statement, right? One statement, an extremely powerful statement. He said, Alhamdulillah. By saying Alhamdulillah, he attributed every single bounty to me. And he praised me and he thanked me in that one statement of his. He then says the fourth demand of shukr. So we said the first, humility. The second, love for Allah. And love is displayed through your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, the third demand of shukr is to acknowledge that the bounty is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to never claim that you were responsible for the acquisition of that bounty and that ni'mah. Number four, he says, وَثَنَاؤُهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا. Always praise Allah. Always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bestowing the bounty upon you. Every opportunity that you have, praise Allah excessively. So one is a condition that exists within the heart. The humility, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attributing the bounty to Allah. And then there is the verbal expression of shukr. And that is to praise Allah Constantly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, he says, وَأَلَّا يَسْتَعْمِلَهَا فِي مَا يَكْرَهُ. Don't ever use the bounty where Allah does not want you to use it. Don't ever use it where Allah dislikes it to be used. It is the height of ingratitude to use a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where Allah does not want you to use it. What are the benefits of shukr? There are so many benefits of shukr. The first benefit of shukr, remaining in a state of shukr. Again, we are discussing the topic of shukr because from shukr will you find people who are suffering in whichever way will develop optimism, will develop a positive outlook, regardless of the situation and the difficulties they find within themselves or that they observe others suffering from. So this stems from shukr. What are the many benefits of shukr? Over and above it creating a positive outlook, and over and above it creating within you a sense of optimism and hope, over and above that, shukr will earn you the appreciation of Allah. Allah appreciates it when you give shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you become grateful and you appreciate, not just give thanks, but truly appreciate from the bottom of your heart, as explained by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, if you fulfill the demands of shukr and the requirements of shukr, Allah says if you do that, He will appreciate that from you. And imagine Allah appreciating something from you. Allah appreciating something from you. When someone appreciates something, they'll want to do more for you. And you have earned their special attention and their special concern. Now they look for every opportunity to do more for you because you appreciate that which they do from you, they do for you. And insan, their generosity is capped and the acts of kindness are capped. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His generosity and His kindness and His mercy and His clemency and His love and mahabbah, that is completely uncapped. So can you imagine when Allah appreciates your shukr, Allah appreciates your appreciation, imagine then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do for you and how much more Allah will elevate you. Then there's the increase and multiplication of bounties. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that the more you are grateful to Allah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. It is a means for the protection of, and it is a means of security and well-being of existing bounties. That is why shukr is known as al-hafidh wal-jalib. Shukr is al-hafidh. When you are constantly in a state of shukr and always appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always having good thoughts about Allah. This is very important. Having good thoughts and good expectations in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regardless of what you are experiencing and what others are experiencing around you. Right? The very first thing over and above what was discussed is it is al-hafidh. What does al-hafidh mean? Al-hafidh means that the shukr, it preserves the existing bounties that you have. That's the immediate benefit of shukr. The more shukr you give, then the existing bounties that you have, your health, your wealth, your deen, your property, your assets, your businesses, you give shukr for all of that, your children, and so on and so forth. The immediate outcome of that is that shukr will be a means for the protection of the existing bounties that you have. Wal-jalib, what does al-jalib mean? Al-jalib means it is the puller, it is the drawer, and it is the attractor of other bounties. So it protects the existing ones, and it is a means of others coming your way. There are a few ways in the few minutes that I have which shukr is developed. Number one, in order for us to develop shukr, which will then naturally allow us to develop optimism and be positive and hopeful, number one is dua. Constantly make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to become a shakir or a shakur, one who is truly appreciative of the many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once addressed Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a young man at the time. And he said to Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, fala tansa an taqul fi dubri kulli salah. Oh Mu'adh, I love you and I have a piece of advice for you. Because of the love that I have for you, I want to share something very, very important with you, Mu'adh. What is that? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, after every salah, do not leave out this dua. What is the dua? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me remain constantly in your remembrance and to always be in a state of shukr. So dua is very important. The famous dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي لَكَ شَكَّارًا لَكَ ذَكَّارًا لَكَ رَهَّابًا لَكَ مِطْوَاعًا لَكَ مُخْبِتًا إِلَيْكَ أَوَّاهًا مُنِيبًا رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي لَكَ شَكَّارًا. He would ask Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, make me shakkar. Who is shakkar? Shakkar, one who is excessively, overwhelmingly in a state of shukr and appreciation and gratitude to you. The dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday. Oh Allah, make it possible for me to constantly give shukr to you for the bounties that you have conferred upon me and upon my parents. So one is dua. Dua is absolutely important in order for us to develop the attribute of shukr. Ask Allah to grant you qalban shakira. Qalban shakira, a heart that is constantly in a state of shukr, because the benefits thereof are immeasurable. Number two, how else do we display practically the shukr? Performing acts of righteousness, piety and kindness as a form of shukr. Right, so whenever you do your ibadah now, as we said before, reading your Quran, one is the rewards that you want to secure, but also present that ibadah as what? As a form of shukr to Allah. Oh Allah, the salat al-tahajjud that I have offered, the 5 daily prayers that I have offered, oh Allah, the Quran that I have recited, oh Allah, the dua that I have made, oh Allah, the salat al-duha, the salat al-awwabin, oh Allah, the act of kindness, the act of generosity that you have allowed me to perform, whatever it may be, oh Allah, I present that as shukr to you. Change the outlook. You will look forward towards fulfilling that ibadah when you change your attitude towards the ibadah and consider it as a form of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever it is that you enjoy. We'll conclude on the fourth ways of developing shukr. Keep your gaze on those who are less fortunate than you. Always keep your gaze on those who are less fortunate than you. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to compare what we have to what others don't have. What we do today is we compare what we don't have to what others have. And naturally, that will create within us what? A sense of ingratitude. And we'll never be able to develop shukr that way. I leave you the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Always, always keep your gaze on those who are lower than you. Look at those who are displaced before complaining of the home in which you live. Look at those who are homeless before you complain of the lack of facility that you enjoy. Look at those who are waiting for handouts before you complain of the food that you have. So Rasulullah says, always look at those who are below you. In dunya, yes, in deen, you always look at the one who is above you. But in dunya and the material things of this world, always keep your gaze on those who are below you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. Don't ever look at those who are above you in dunya. Why? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّهُ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. When you do this, when you do this, when you always look at those who are below you, right? And there's always someone below you, no matter how low you are. There's always someone who is below you and lower than you. When you do that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will never trivialize the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the moment you do that, when you switch the focus from the one who is above you to the one who is below you, naturally what will you say? Alhamdulillah. Naturally you will say, Alhamdulillah. And that Alhamdulillah is enough for you to earn the appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding.